I'm going to ask you to open up your Bibles today to chapter 1 of Samuel. And so first Samuel chapter 25, we're going to look at a story where David becomes very angry. And when I think back to my own life, I think about where does fear and anger and anxiety and depression, where does that come from? What's the root cause of that? And I can think back when I was a young child, you know, I was going through some tough things in my personal life, and I actually would steal money. I would go to the store, I would buy candy, and I would store it under my bed so that when tough times came, when there was fear in my life and I felt like a bit of depression or some anxiety, I'd actually go and hide under my bed and consume this candy. I felt like it was a safe place for me to be at. When I had something I could lean on, or I knew that I had some supplies of something that would make me feel better. And just recently, as you can remember, I went to Costco just not too long ago, and I stocked up on all these things, and I put it all in my house, and I looked at all the supplies I had in my house, and there was honestly a sense of peace in that, knowing, like, I'm good for a couple months if something goes sour, if you can't find toilet paper and those kind of things. I felt some security and some safety in that. Now, I mean, that's not really causing any conflict in my life or any opportunities. I don't hoard that much. I don't, you know, buy that much toilet paper. But, you know, is there some root reason why I feel a bit of sense of peace when my house is full of certain items? So I want to look at a story here. If we look at David now, and I just want to kind of quickly bring us into the story, recap even a bit of last week's message. And we would see here in 1 Samuel chapter 24 that King Saul was chasing after David, wanting to kill him. King Saul was the king of the time, and David was a person that was getting blessed by God, and good things were happening. King Saul was like, I'm sick and tired of this David guy. I'm going to take him out. King Saul got tired, and he took a nap in a cave. He was walking around trying to find David, and he took a nap in a cave. He wanted to take a little break. You know, it was a hot part of the day from the sun. David actually happened to be hiding in the same cave, and his men said, go over there and kill him. And David went over to where King Saul was, but the God heart, the heart of David, you know, the heart of God said, you know, that's actually not the right thing to do. Even though this person is being negative and mean to you, it would be not the correct way to respond to that. We see later in 1 Samuel chapter 25, we see David continue to kind of be running around the land, and he finds somebody, an extended family member named Nabal, and he says, sends 10 of his men, can you go to Nabal, just bless him in the name of the Lord, speak, you know, blessing over him and his household, and just ask for a little bit of help. You know, we're running around, we don't have any food, we don't have any supplies, we don't have any extra provisions, could you give us some of your provisions? And Nabal says to those 10 men, go and tell David, why should I give you any bread or any water or any meat? Why should I give you anything? I don't even know you people. Who are you? And to this point, we see the godly side of David responding out of all these opportunities that he faced, all this fear that he faced, all this, you know, running that he faced. We see that he had the heart of God. But all of a sudden here, now all of a sudden somebody pushed his button. Has your button ever been pushed and you kind of lose it? Or, you know, you might get a bit fearful. You might even get a bit angry. You might get a bit resentful. It might even cause you to go into depression when your button is pushed. And I want to look at that for a moment. You know, often I think when we come around somebody's button or your button, you're like, whoa, okay, and like, now this has gone too far. I got something I need to do or I want to say about that. So that's how we pick up the story here. Let's see how David responds now to Nabal saying, like, forget you, I'm not helping you. David says here in chapter 25 of 1 Samuel again, verse 12, it says, David's men turned around and went back. When they arrived, they reported every word that Nabal had said about him. David said to his men, put on your swords. Put on your swords, with an exclamation point. So they put on their swords and David put on his. About 400 men went up with David while 200 stayed with the supplies. So we see here David is saying, like, hey, that Nabal character has just pushed my button. Now I'm going to go down there and I'm going to take care of some business, and we all have swords. Let's just jump down to verse 21 and see what else it has to say. David had just said, it's been useless, all my watching over this fellow's property in the desert so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for good. May God deal with David. He's talking about himself. May God deal with me, be it ever so severely, by mourning I leave any male among them alive. Whoa. Now, this is serious. You push somebody's button, explosion time. David is hot. His face is red. He's ready to take care of some business. When we get hurt, like David, when we get somebody talks behind our back, or, you know, when we're trying to do good towards somebody and they return your goodness with evil, with, you know, being mean and negative and not wanting to share with you, in a sense, in this story, you know, how does that affect our feelings? How does that affect our emotions? How do we respond when we get that kind of response from a person? So when I think back to when I was at a retail store, I actually managed it. I managed many different retail stores in my 10 years of retail before I became a Christian and became a pastor. And this one retail store I was overseeing, the owner had come in, and my wife was waiting in the vehicle, and just it was going on, and we were a little bit impatient, and this stuff was happening. I think we had groceries. The ice cream was melting. That was very important. And so the owner said just this kind of little off, you know, cuff kind of comment about my wife. And I can tell you, like David right there, it was like, all of a sudden, I was like, I was ready to fight. I probably had a red face. I was super upset. Because I can remember back in my life, I look back to the example that I had of a husband and a wife. It was very abusive. It was not a good situation. I thought, I don't want that in my life. But I swung the pendulum so far that I was ready to quit. I was ready to walk away from that job because I said, you say something bad about my wife just one time, I will just go medieval. And I think we need to respond in a way that is corrective, but not to respond in anger and frustration and maybe wanting to quit. So the thing that is deep down inside of us that we don't want to face, our fears and angers and our anxiety and our depression, we might say to ourselves, well, it's better that we just don't even touch it. It's better that we just put up a wall around it or a bit of a smoke screen so we never really have to deal with that deep-rooted pain or hurt. You know, we can trust God with our lives, you know, just with our finances. We can trust God with our kids. We can trust God with all these things in our lives. But I don't know why we have a difficult time trusting God with that red button in our lives. You know, when you kind of you sound off or you sound out or you really get angry, and it's just like, what is causing that? What's that deep-rooted pain that's causing that? Like, we can encourage you as a pastor, you know, or maybe as your pastor or a pastor, I encourage you, like, let's read the Word of God. You should pray. You should fast. You should give. You should serve. And we do all those things well, and we think, wow, I'm doing well. But really, at the end of the day, there's still this deep-rooted pain and hurt that we are facing that sometimes we don't want to deal with. I really want us to be free in Jesus Christ's name in every area of your life. I believe that Jesus died on the cross so that we could be free from all of these past hurts and pains, even if they're difficult to face. I don't want you to be walking around. I mean, this isn't a salvation issue, but walking around just like, I'm doing well as a Christian, but behind closed doors at home, when we really talk about the deep-rooted things that are going on in your life, it doesn't look the same. You know, you can put on a face for church, you put on a face for work, you can put on a face for people, but at the end of the day, when you put your head on your pillow, how are you doing? How are things really going? And it really challenges me because I wonder what we would be like if we really got free of those things. If we were free of those things, would our lives look a little bit different? Would we have more time for other things? Would we maybe be a little bit happier in a sense? I mean, God didn't die on the cross so you could be happy. But if we were free from all of this sin and anger and frustration and fear and depression, what would your life look like? And I was just going through my devotion yesterday, and I was looking in Genesis. I had read the whole Bible, and I thought, well, let's just start again, you know, start at the very beginning. So I'm in Genesis chapter 4 here, And I was reading a story. Now, the truth of this story is about giving your first fruits, giving to God first, but there's this very interesting thought that popped out to me in verse 6 of Genesis chapter 4. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast?" And often in life, when we're faced with somebody pushing a red button, it causes us to be downcast. It causes us to be frustrated. It causes us to be angry and not really walking in the ways of the Lord anymore, because we're just, whatever is going on internally is dictating our lives in that moment. And Cain here is upset because God didn't receive his offering, which was just, you know, some leftover scraps. He didn't give his first fruit. So Cain here is upset. Now, my message isn't around giving, but I want you to see what happens here. If we are upset at anybody, or if we're frustrated or angry or red in the face or ready to kind of let loose, watch what it says here in verse 7. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, and you must master it. And that's really the point I wanted to make today, is that if we allow this root of frustration and anger and depression and anxiety to stay around, we're really allowing sin to be at the table. We're really allowing sin to be right there knocking at our door. And how are we going to address it? And how are we going to master it? Now, we talk about all the time when we read scripture, we say we need to move from milk, we need to move to meat. You know, we need to move from infancy and adolescence and young adult and really move to adulthood. Now, God is saying have faith like a child. We understand that, but it doesn't say act like a child. He actually says grow up and become mature and become an adult. But to become an adult and like your education, you know, get your elementary years, get your high school years or your junior high years, you know, go to college and go to university because you want to get a master's degree. You want to master something. And when I think about becoming a master of something, if we were to look it up, we would say it usually takes 6 to 10 years to master something, or it takes 10,000 hours to master something. I've actually been preaching for 16 years, since 2004. I've preached over 300 sermons. But you know what? Actually, I've only really invested a few thousand hours into preaching. I'm only really a third of the way there to master preaching. So I really want to focus on that. It might take a long season, but by some date in history, I hope to be a master at preaching and communication. Would you say the same about the things that you're facing in life, your little red buttons, that at some point you'd love to master that? You'd love to just not respond that way anymore. You'd love to come out of depression and anxiety at some point in your life. Would you want to take a hold of that? And if you do, I pray that you would, as the scripture says, you would want to desire to master it, because sin's right there. But you don't want to give into it anymore. You don't want to allow it to take root and take hold in your life anymore. I want to share with you one story that happened to me when Amelie and I were first married. When we were first married, I had seen and witnessed in my life, and I just responded this way. When we didn't see eye to eye, or our communication wasn't clear, I got very frustrated. And as a man, I don't know, maybe as a man, maybe as Rob, Pastor Rob, I would internalize that, and I would shut down for 1, 2, sometimes 3 or 4 days. You know, I would say to my wife, "I love you." We'd sleep in the same bed, but I would leave just super frustrated. At the dinner table, it was very quiet, because I didn't know how to respond, because all I was witness in my life is that when husband and wife don't get along, like, they would just fight, and they would get angry and frustrated with each other. And I thought, I don't want to be like that. So I swung the pendulum so far that I just was quiet and I shut down. Well, that's actually not healthy either. There's got to be a happy medium in there somewhere. So how do we figure that out? And it's really going to take us mastering those kind of things, investing time and energy going, why am I responding? Why am I so frustrated? Why can't I seem to figure this out? Because we allow these things to take root, to let sin take hold in our lives, and we can't seem to get over it. So I want to encourage you today. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for us. In just a moment, I'd really love to pray over you. I'd love you to actually repeat a prayer after me, because I really believe that God wants you to be free. I really believe deep down inside that as a pastor, or maybe your pastor, that our objective, our goal isn't to just have a nice, flashy church and have hundreds of people coming and 100 people giving and to be able to buy, you know, bunks for bucks and all these kind of things. I'm thankful for those things. But if you're walking around broken and sad and hurting, I feel like I'm not doing a good job. And I want to be able to help you, help us be masters at these things that we're struggling with. And I hope my transparency with you has encouraged you today. But somebody prayed this over me, and I've seen this prayed over other people, and I want to do it for you. I feel like this is a great time. We don't have to wait to the new year for a New Year's resolution or something. We can just press into God right now, and I hope this will bless you and help you. If there is any bondage in your life, I just think you would want to be free from it. Let the Lord bring sins, bondages in your life into your mind that you want to repent of, that you want to be free from. Maybe he'll bring to your mind sins, whether big or small. Maybe he'll bring people into your mind, relatives, family, or maybe those that you've worked with. Let's just let the Holy Spirit reveal those things that we need to be free from. And I'm going to ask you to repeat after me this prayer. So let's just close our eyes and commit this time to the Lord. Please repeat this after me. Father, I ask you to forgive me for all my sins. And I ask you to release me from every bondage in Jesus' name. Now let me pray for you. So let's just agree together. I take authority over the spiritual a spirit of bitterness, unforgiveness, and jealousy. I rebuke every spirit of insecurity, fear, and rejection. Spirit of suicide, I command you to leave Terrace and every other community that is watching or listening to this message. A spirit of anger, rage, and violence. Every spirit of sexual immorality, sexual impurity, and idolatry. Every spirit of pride, lying, and rebellion. Every spirit of criticism, arrogance, and racism. Every spirit of greed, materialism, and selfishness. Every spirit of depression, anxiety, and worry. I pray that all those things would be gone in Jesus' name. Every spirit of addiction and alcoholism and drug addictions. Every spirit of religious pride or heresy or false doctrine. Every spirit of stealing or laziness or unbelief. Every spirit of guilt, shame, or embarrassment. Every spirit of sickness, disease, and chronic health issues, I pray that all those would be gone in Jesus' name. And every spirit of witchcraft or of the occult, I command in Jesus' name that every spirit listed that I've just said in Jesus' name be dealt with. I break every word curse and spells spoken into my brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. Every generational curse, I command you to go right now in Jesus' name. Every demonic spirit that has held my brothers and sisters in bondage, I command you to go in Jesus' name. And I'm going to encourage you again to repeat after me. Repeat this prayer. Say, Lord, I receive the Holy Spirit, and will you fill me with the Holy Spirit? Every place evil spirits have left, will you fill me with the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name? Oh, I just pray that there would be a release in the spiritual realm today in your life. May God bless you richly this day in Jesus' name.